Week 11, Day 1. Today's reading is Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate, and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Remaining Faithful in a Foreign Land by Jake Whitmer. Daniel was likely around 15 years old when the Babylonian army laid siege to his hometown of Jerusalem. Along with his close friends, he was taken from his family and forced to travel over 800 miles to the heart of the pagan empire of Babylon. Although the Babylonians were fierce and brutal warriors, their true strength in conquering the known world lay not only in their military might, but in psychological warfare. The Babylonians were masters of indoctrination. Their strategy was to identify and isolate the brightest young minds from conquered nations, stripping them of their cultural identity, their traditions, and their families. Over the course of several years, they would attempt to brainwash these captives with the seduction of Babylon's luxurious culture, a culture saturated with sinful indulgence, paganism, and devotion to false gods. I believe this was more than political strategy. It was spiritual warfare. Behind the scenes, the enemy was working through Babylon to sever these young men from their faith and their God. As part of this assimilation process, Daniel's very identity was attacked. His name, originally meaning "God is my judge," was changed to Belteshazzar, meaning "Bel, protect me," a direct reference to a Babylonian deity. This wasn't just a name change. It was a deliberate attempt to redefine who he was and erase his allegiance to the God of Israel. Yet even in the midst of such intense pressure and upheaval, Daniel's unwavering devotion to God revealed a profound spiritual maturity. He demonstrated remarkable courage, deep conviction, and a clear understanding of his faith, all at an age when many are still searching for identity and direction. Unlike many nameless captives taken before him, Daniel did not succumb to the overwhelming pressure to abandon his love and loyalty to God. He never once bent the knee to conform to the temptation of his new environment. Daniel's convictions to honor and please God always outweighed any temptation to fear or please man. He refused to be molded by his circumstances or shaped by the culture surrounding him. A clear example of this was found in Daniel 1:8, where Daniel chose not to defile himself by eating the royal food and wine, which had been offered to idols and was not in accordance with God's law. He could have easily justified compromising, but Daniel remained steadfast. God honored Daniel and his friends by choosing to go against the status quo and remain pure in his sight. He not only provided them with the proper nutrition they needed through limited options, but he also enriched them physically and spiritually. In Daniel 1:17, we read how God gave them more than what they needed. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom, and God gave Daniel a special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. As we continue through the book of Daniel, we see how this early decision to refuse the king's food became a pivotal moment. It set the course for Daniel's future, leading him to receive divine wisdom and knowledge that would eventually place him in one of the highest positions within the king's court and allow him to influence an entire nation. Question 1. What do you think would have happened to Daniel if he had chosen to give in and eat the king's food? Question 2. Is there something in your life that is defiling you? Something that is breaking God's heart and hindering your relationship with Him? Daily prayer. Lord, help me be faithful when the world pressures me to conform. Give me courage to stand apart for your glory. Amen.